Back in 2019, Tim Wilts set up a committee on poverty to look at, one, how we calculate it, and then how we quantify and deal with it, and actually have the evidence to bring forward policies, government policies, and approval by Tim Wilts, obviously, to try to counter this. And again, it's really quite complicated, because what we're talking about now, you've got sort of absolute poverty, but also you've got relative poverty, which is defined as when a household receives about 60% of the median household income for the Isle of Man. And we haven't really had a good idea of that. We know every year we do an earnings survey, and we know that the median gross pay is around about £38,000 a year, but that's 2023. But actually, household income, that's not just what you earn. That's what you might get from benefits and what you might get from investments or money in the bank. And so every 5 years we do what's called the household income and expenditure survey, and that's used for calculating the VAT share. And we did that in 23-24. We then calculated that and shown that the median household income is around about £51,000. And therefore then extrapolated on how many people are below 60% of that, and has come up with a figure of around about 11% of the household studied of that, which is lower than the UK, but still a significant amount. And then when you look at those people who are in the private rental market, it goes up even higher to the 25%. So what we need to do is look at government policies that are there and the ones that we have to develop to try to correct some of this and lift people out of relative poverty, to give them a better experience of being able to live on the Isle of Man and be able to afford the things that some of the rest of us take for granted.
You mentioned relative poverty there. What does that look like in real terms? And absolute poverty, is that a concern as well, or is it just relative poverty, as it were?
Yeah, I think both. Absolute poverty is when you're destitute.
And does that exist on the Isle of Man?
Well, certainly when we've looked at things like the homelessness data, things like some of the stuff coming in from the food bank, there are pockets of that, but often it's individuals in crisis, either mental health crises or family breakdowns, domestic abuse, coming out of prison, various things that happen to them in their life that can throw them off balance. It is there. There are lots of statutory services now that can intervene and help those individual people, either through mental health and the crisis team, or in terms of the homelessness strategy. And we know a lot more money and effort has gone into funding people accommodation, temporary accommodation, while they sort things out. So absolute poverty is there, but it's very, very rare, I'd say, on the island. Relative poverty is people who can't do what most of us take for granted, who perhaps struggle if the washing machine blows up to replace it, if their car breaks down to get it serviced. They may not be able to go on a holiday. It's those sort of things that actually mean that you can't have the same standard of living that we'd expect for a developed country like the Isle of Man. And so what we need to do is look at the levers government have, but also look at how we can increase people's income, increase their ability to achieve a decent income through skills and full employment, but also look at the various benefits we have and various other ways that we can help them.
You mentioned the Household Income and Expenditure Survey 23/24. Looking at some of the headlines from that, 25% of renters saying they live in relative poverty. Does that shock you?
Yes. I mean, we know that private rents have been going up significantly. We know that the cost of new houses and existing houses have gone up significantly. I mean, when you look at the Household Income and Expenditure Survey, there are some caveats around it. They were trying to get as big a survey as possible, so sent out letters to over 20,000 households on the island. They got 795 responses, which is about a response rate of just under 4%. And so there are some caveats there in terms of the ability to interpret those results. However, that's the information we've got, and we need to deal with it. One of the issues is we do need that better data. And obviously, when you're prying into households' income, it is quite personal. And so I'm not surprised that people sometimes don't want to give that up to government. But it's really important that we know what's happening to people out there. Actually, you know, the effect of private rentals is clear and apparent. When I answered some questions about the new development, Thaiclag, that was done by the Mexico Development Corporation for the former nurses' home, I actually said that there's a real shortage of private rental accommodation of decent quality on the Isle of Man, and the price has gone up quite significantly as you know, demand has been there, but supply hasn't. And so it is very important that we look at various ways of bringing in more private rental there for people who may not be eligible for social housing, but still are in need of a roof over their head.
The rental price per month for an apartment in Thaiclag made a few people's eyes water. Where do we stand on that as part of government, I suppose, setting an example in this area?
Yeah. I mean, Thaiclag is developed to provide particularly landing stage accommodation for people who are either moving over to the island or coming back to the island, graduates. It's marketed on market rent, that the prices start off under £800, but you're quite right, some of the upper roof apartments were significantly more expensive than that. But it's done on a commercial basis to fund the development, which has been extremely successful. I think looking forward, the Department of Infrastructure have done previous ideas of sort of mixed rents and mid rents. We need to bring in some various developments, and the Westmoreland Village, which is next to Thaiclag, which is going to be developed by the Manx Development Corporation. Hopefully, we'll be able to provide a greater range of rental accommodation there, and there are some other developments taking place as well that will do this. But we need to increase this supply if we're going to meet people's expectations. Obviously, for people on benefits who are eligible for benefits, that can help with private rental, but that's a minority of people, and we do need to reach out to a lot of what are often called the squeeze middle of people who can't be in receipt of benefits unless they've perhaps got children, but are actually struggling with this, because part of the Council Minister's report on poverty was also looking at some of the attitude surveys. And I think a lot of people on the island have seen that whilst their wages have increased over the last 5 to 10 years, it hasn't perhaps kept up with inflation, particularly some of the big costs such as, you know, sudden interest rates rises or energy rises. And so people are left trying to play catch up. And that's where government needs to step in to actually make sure we enable the right environment for economic growth, for employment, and people to earn a decent wage and have a decent standard of living.
Talk us through now then some of the key highlights of the report. You've shown what areas in which government is providing support. The minimum wage increase, for example, that review's still going on, isn't it, in terms of aligning that with the living wage? Any update you can provide with us there?
Yes, I mean, I've been working with the Department for Enterprise on a series of issues around about how we calculate the living wage, how we look at bringing the living wage up, but at the same time doing it in a way that doesn't put excess stress on employers and getting that balance right, because certainly doing it too fast was seen as too much of a stress on a retail and hospitality environment, which is only just recovering from the various batterings it's had over the last couple of years. So it's doing that in a way, and also how we calculate the living wage and how we do it on a much more even basis to make sure that people get an increase each year, are being paid a proper amount to lift them out of relative poverty, but do it in a controlled way. So we'll be coming back in July to Tynwald with a report on that. But there's also a whole range of other schemes in terms of making sure that people are able to get back into full employment, looking at how we can increase the skill levels as well so they can earn more money. There's a whole range of things in terms of helping businesses themselves get increased productivity and efficiency so that they can drive forward further investment, and obviously a range of issues that we've also been trying to address through the benefit system for those people who, as we've been talking about, sometimes through no fault of their own or sudden change in circumstances are plunged into financial difficulties, whether that be through a relationship breakdown, domestic abuse, those sort of things, and how we can try to help those people as much as possible get back on their feet.
When you look at these key highlights and these measures being taken by government, which do you think has been the most effective so far? What's had the most take-up?
One of the things that's been very effective and goes back to 2022 when we had sudden increases in energy prices. There was the DEFA scheme in terms of the energy efficiency scheme, which has helped, you know, almost 4,000 homes and households lower their energy use, lower their energy bills by empowering them to be given free loft insulation, LED lights, all those sort of things. Now, I know people can sometimes be a little bit cynical about this, but if you can try to counteract the fear of fuel poverty, if you can try to enable people to get back in control of their bills and not have that fear of turning lights on or turning the hot water system on or the heating on, that's a really real positive change. On top of that, obviously, government have been working very closely with the regulators to try to control energy prices, whether that be gas prices or electricity prices, and make sure utilities now have a CPI-based price tariff, which hopefully will allow people to plan ahead, and hopefully we can then help people out, you know, reduce their energy bills in the future. And I think that's been extremely successful in terms of the number of people it's reached.
For anybody who's listening who is experiencing what is classed as relative poverty on the island right now, what would you say to them in terms of government's efforts to alleviate their struggle?
Well, what I'd say is it is a constant struggle. I mean, when we were asked by the Poverty Committee what was the acceptable level of poverty, the answer is there can't be one. And we made that quite clear in the report. But we also have to be realistic that it is difficult to bring everyone's income up at the same time as almost everyone is struggling with increased prices and various financial pressures. I think if people are feeling worried about their finances, are feeling worried that they're not going to be able to meet bills and they're not going to be able to feed themselves or their children or heat their house, please reach out for help. There is a lot there. If you qualify for benefits, phone the social security officers. They can give you a lot of advice. If you don't qualify for benefits, they can actually signpost you to other groups who can help out and provide both practical assistance and also some really good advice signpost to further ways of dealing with this. There are a range of third sector organisations now that offer debt advice, that offer budgeting advice, but also there's a whole range of government initiatives to try to get people back into full-time employment and allow them to earn a decent wage.
Getting that percentage of people on the island living in relative poverty down, what's the 5-year, even 10-year target in terms of that?
Yeah,
is it ever possible to wipe it out?
In an ideal utopian world, the answer would be yes. I think because relative poverty moves according to the economic climate, there'll always be people who are slightly but behind their neighbours. That's a fact of life. What we need to do, though, is ensure that everyone has a chance on this island to earn more, to participate in our society more, and to enjoy living on the island more. And that's what the whole island plan and the whole thrust of this administration has been trying to achieve. It's been against serious headwinds, as we know, with COVID and inflation and interest rates. Some of them are outside our government's control. But actually, what we need to do is to listen to the people of the island. That's why we're doing the various roadshows. Look at the data that we've got, however it's compiled, and then have decent evidence-based policies to try to address the problems that people on the Isle of Man are facing.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.